no bike for his birthday. Bobby pondered this glumly on their walk home, his pleasure at the strange, muddled movie they had seen mostly gone. He didn't argue with his mother, or try to coax her. That would bring on a counterattack, and when Liz Garfield counterattacked, she took no prisoners. But he brooded on the lost bike and the lost father. Sometimes he almost hated his father. Sometimes all that kept him from doing so was the sense, unanchored but very strong, that his mother wanted him to. As they reached Commonwealth Park and walked along the side of it two blocks up, they would turn left onto Broad Street, where they lived. He went against his usual misgivings and asked a question about Randall Garfield. Didn't he leave anything, Mom? Anything at all? A week or two before, he'd read a Nancy Drew mystery where some poor kid's inheritance had been hidden behind an old clock in an abandoned mansion. Bobby didn't really think his father had left gold coins or rare stamps stashed someplace, but if there was something, maybe they could sell it in Bridgeport. Possibly at one of the hawk shops. Bobby didn't know exactly how hawking things worked, but he knew what the shops looked like. They had three gold balls hanging out front, and he was sure the hawk shop guys would be happy to help them. Of course, it was just a kid's dream, but Carol Gerber, up the street, had a whole set of dolls that her father, who was in the Navy, had sent from overseas. If fathers gave things, which they did, it stood to reason that fathers sometimes left things. When Bobby asked the question, they were passing one of the street lamps, which ran along this side of Commonwealth Park, and Bobby saw his mother's mouth change, as it always did when he ventured a question about his late father. The change made him think of a purse she had. When you pulled on the drawstrings, the hole at the top got smaller. "I'll tell you what he left," she said, as they started up Broad Street Hill. Bobby already wished he hadn't asked, but of course it was too late now. Once you got her started, you couldn't get her stopped. That was the thing. "He left a life insurance policy which lapsed the year before he died. Little did I know that, until he was gone, and everyone, including the undertaker, wanted that little piece of what I didn't have. He also left a large stack of unpaid bills, which I have now pretty much taken care of. People have been very understanding of my situation, Mr. Biderman in particular, and I'll never say they haven't been." All this was old stuff, as boring as it was bitter. But then she told Bobby something new. "Your father," she said as they approached the apartment house, which stood halfway up Broad Street Hill, "never met an inside straight he didn't like." "What's an inside straight, Mom?" "Never mind. But I'll tell you one thing, Bobby-O, you don't ever want to let me catch you playing cards for money. I've had enough of that to last me a lifetime." Bobby wanted to inquire further, but knew better. More questions were apt to set off a tirade. It occurred to him that perhaps the movie, which had been about unhappy husbands and wives, had upset her in some way he could not as a mere kid understand. He would ask his friend John Sullivan about inside straights at school on Monday. Bobby thought it was poker, but wasn't completely sure. "There are places in Bridgeport that take men's money," she said as they neared the apartment house where they lived. "Foolish men go to them. Foolish men make messes, and it's usually the women of the world that have to clean them up later on." Well, Bobby knew what was coming next. It was his mother's all-time favorite. "Life isn't fair," said Liz Garfield as she took out her house key and prepared to unlock the door of 149 Broad Street in the town of Harwich, Connecticut. It was April of 1960. The night breathed spring perfume, and standing beside her was a skinny boy with his dead father's risky red hair. She hardly ever touched his hair. On the infrequent occasions when she caressed him, it was usually his arm or his cheek which she touched. "Life isn't fair," she repeated. She opened the door, and they went in.